What we'll do is go around the room and introduce ourselves so it's on the record who's here.
Yep.
And then you'll have your time to let us know what you believe the value should be and why. If we have some questions for the evidence you present, we'll ask though that during that time period. If you have any questions for us, we're more than happy to try to answer them. Once you've presented your evidence, any questions have been answered, we will go into deliberative session. And then a notice, a results of grievance notice will be mailed to you by certified mail in a week to 2 weeks.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, so let's go around the room.
Charlotte Gardner.
Robert
Hi.
Vickery.
I'm sorry.
Robert Vickery.
Okay. John Mahoney.
Great. And you have the floor.
Okay, thanks. My name is John Mahoney, and I'm here representing the owners of 280 Thayer Beach Road regarding the recently completed town reappraisal. Thayer Beach Road is a private road and includes many dwellings, most of which are on the lake. 280 is a seasonal dwelling. The other owners are six of my siblings. The family has been summering there since the 1940s. The structure is very modest and is not insulated. The town appraisal takes into account two aspects, the building on the site and the land that is part of the parcel, and we want to offer some thoughts on each of these. Regarding the building, it was built many decades ago and has not had any improvements since the last evaluation, except for some touch-ups with exterior paint and some minor repair of exterior wood trim. The new appraisal of the structure represents an 80% increase in value. We find this not to be warranted. Perhaps some increase is warranted. For example, an increase of 40% might be more appropriate. This would see the camp value increase by $21,000 instead of $42,000. Regarding the lot, the main structure is 40 by 30 feet. There is some additional square footage with two porches. The value of the property, as assessed by the town, is mostly with the land. We assume that anyone purchasing the property would tear down the existing structure and build new. Most homeowners in Vermont like to have a garage. A two-car garage, 20 by 20 feet on the present property, would take up as much as a third of the available living space on the first floor. A one-car garage, 12 by 20, would eat up at least 25% of the available space. While the land may be valuable, we think the limitations that come with the land make it overvalued in the present appraisal. The overall average for the town appraisal is 94%. Given what we have said, we think that the reappraisal of our property should be more in the 94% range of the rest of the town. At present, the town reappraisal values the land at nearly 120% of the last valuation, from $436,400 to $954,900. Thank you for your time and for your service to the town.
I don't have any questions.
I don't have any questions either.
Okay, and you have my statement?
We have your statement. Thank you.
I think this is the span number. I don't know.
Oh, we have it right here.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
We have it
All
right.
right. Well, thank you very much for your time.
So what we're going to do is end the recording and.
No. This is the appeal for 206 West Red Dock Road. The property owner is not here for their scheduled meeting. We will go around the room, introduce ourselves, and then we will go into deliberative session and review the letter that was sent requesting the appeal. There was no other evidence provided. Robert Vickery.
Charlotte Gardner.
Now go into deliberative session and review the email that was sent as the appeal hearing. This is the appeal hearing for 35 Irish Cove. The property owner was not here for their scheduled time. We will go around the room and introduce ourselves for who is here for the record. And they submitted an online appeal form that we will review in deliberative session.
Charlotte Gardner.
Robert Vickery. We will now deliberate and review the appeal hearing. Started. So what we'll do is go around the table, like Charlotte said, and introduce ourselves for the record. And then, like Charlotte said, you have 15 minutes to let us know what you believe the value should be and why. We may have some questions based on the evidence you present, and if you have any questions for us, feel free to ask. And then we will, at the end of the 15 minutes, we will close the session and then go into a deliberative session and make a determination of what the value should be. That value can go up, go down, or stay the same. If you have any, then we'll, the town will send you by certified mail a results agreements notice within a week to 2 weeks. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. So let's go on to
Gardner.
Robert Vickery.
Tutai.
Andrew Geo.
Okay.
And I can, okay. Well, I'd like to thank you guys for spending all this time to kind of give us a little input in what we, you know, feel like that might be not the right assessment value of our home. So I really do respect that. And ask for just to hear me out, I'm going to kind of go through my note and reading. And I have also emailed this to you, like, this morning, just not having enough time for you guys to review it. But what I'm saying is that I understand there's some been recent high value home that sell in Marble Island, also known as Outer Bay at Marble Island, that might influence the assessment. However, I do not believe those transactions are the most appropriate indicator of the property market value. The reason is that there's one property at 105 Mariner Height. This sell for $2.1 million. This home is significant. It's a bigger lot. It has a 360-degree view of the lake. Superior lake exposure, premium location, overall high-end finishes. And then also it was a cash buy.
What did that sell for?
It was 2.1. It's a cash buy. It's 105
yes.
Mariner Height, which I know a lot of the property you have now value up there is kind of reflective of that. So those are like in an area that's past the marina, that's more a little bit more private than we are. We're down here where we're not like a dead end private beach community. We have public. It does seem appealing. It's very unique. It's different than a lot of the neighborhood, but it's not private. There's road constantly going in, speeding. When green up day, we go pick beer bottles. There's beer bottle everywhere that people come in and trash the whole place, you know? But you can't see it because they throw it off the ledge area. And then also there's two other property in the neighborhood that sold, you know, in the $1.7 million. One of them being 1070 Marble Island Row. Why the sale was legitimate sale, I believe they involve unique circumstances that make them less representative of the broader market. One of the buyer purchased a home because they missed out on another home. So they went and offered on that one without even it hitting the market. They got a sign on it and they just took the person that couldn't buy the other one, so they're like, I'll buy this one. And that house specifically, from knowledge that I thought they were just gonna list at 1.2. It's kind of verbally been said that, but then because the other one got inflated and this one's like, oh, I'll sell, that person come in like, I'll sell you, I'll buy it for that price, you know? So there's that, and then there's one more instance. It's not in our neighborhood, but you know, in our neighborhood there's dirt road off to private neighborhood. One instant where a house got, the door got knocked on and be like, I'll pay you this amount for this house. So that's why I believe it's not true value. It's for people that could afford it and willing to pay for the premium price. Why pushing us out? Because we're not cash buyer able to and willing to pay that kind of price. So I feel like it inflated the neighborhood a lot. That I know the last 5 years house went up a lot, but that one I'm talking about in Waterview, and 5 years ago it couldn't sell. It sit for even on a hot market, it was sitting for a year, and it sold for 1.350 million. But then now 5 years later, someone knocked on the door willing to pay a million something over that price. So what I'm trying to say is like, it's people, this sale demonstrate highly motivated buyers may choose to pay premium price to live in this area. Why they're a valid sale, I don't believe you should not primarily base assessment according to that. I think a broader review of comparable sale over years would provide a better balance of this market. I know you tried to do, 12-month period with a real estate agent and all that, but I feel like the more comparable sales would be, like, example, like, what I have here. I lost my train of thought. I have it on here, but it's like 1212 Marble Island Road, 1100 Marble Island Road, and the other one, I think 1290 Marble Island Road would be one being 1100 Marble Island Road sold last spring for $990. I feel like that those were not inflate number, that sit for a little bit longer. So like that, even though only that one house sold for that price, it's in our area of neighborhood, right? Like where I'm at. It's sold for $990. The square footage of that home's a little smaller than mine. But I feel like those are more accurate of our home. There's that. And I know you don't want to talk about land value. So when it comes to like, I agree with the home itself value and 745 too, like our home value. I agree with that. What I think I have a hard time understanding is the valuation of the land itself at 636. And I do have in that email also the three lots. Two sold within the last year, one that's still on the market and been on the market for years. The one lot up above from us just sold for $275. It does have, like, we'll have view the lake where we don't. And that one, I would say, it's not raw land, right? It has improvement, utilities to the site. Septic, you just have to put septic tank. The septic is already connection to the community septic, sewage, gray water treatment center. To say that land 275 and you add in what it takes to put a road to it and a septic tank itself and the basement, with that improvement, you're still at 400 cap. That's where I have a hard time also looking at some other property like Overlake Drive property, and they're like private because anyone that goes in there live in that neighborhood. And one of the house that's, I pull up here somewhere, of course I lost it. One house I would looking at would be 132 Overlake Drive. And their square footage bigger than mine. Obviously, their home value is more than mine, but their land value is only at $346. Yep, and they do have a pool. And I say that because our neighborhood, pool access.
That house has a pool.
Yes, 132, pool. And their land value is at $346. Roughly in that neighborhood, all the land value would be three something, and they have like direct access to the lake, and it's private, no one drive in there. And for us, we have lake access, like the marina, it's like we have deed to it, it's not like that belong to us, and that's 50 foot, and we always have like trouble going there because we were like, that's on the condo themselves, like that's our lake, And then we go to Pebble Beach. We have Pebble Beach, but that's like deeded access. It's not like, so to compare it to that neighborhood.
There's like restrictions. It's like, we share that opposed to, the Overlake is like, nobody says anything, And like we have constant traffic from the marina at all times, especially in the summer.
Speeding to that thing, like whipping down that. Yes.
Eager to get to the lake.
Yes.
Yes.
So there's that where I, you know, like, again, I really do agree with, if you said like the home value, I agree with that. I just have a hard time understanding the land.
As far as, yeah, comparable.
Yeah. And I understand as an appraiser, assessor, you do compare around neighborhoods, let's say a colonial and this row versus that row, you find different street. With this one, I feel like the only one you guys concentrate on comparison would be in the neighborhood itself. And because in this neighborhood, it's so inflated by people that's willing and able to pay that premium price. And it, like, unfortunately hurt the people that can't, that came there, built from the ground up, need to be pushed out because they can no longer afford here. And of course, we're here arguing over like $1,000, $2,000 more in property tax, and we're doing that because we're not those cash buyers that could do that, right? Or I wouldn't be here arguing over a couple thousand, not argue, but you know what I mean.
Debating.
And then in addition to comparable sale, I asked the town to kind of consider my property itself, right? Our location's also different than some of the desirable neighborhood. For instance, you know, we talk about the public marina, and then, you know, I won't go through that because I already talked about the dead end stuff. Our driveway have easement, so like neighborhood property, people can always constantly use our driveway to use the access to the common land cross. So even though we pay for it and our neighbor, but we have easement, we will use it. So it's not always private. We have all four homes around our house. There's no privacy. You can see right into our door, our windows. We have one neighbor that built really high, the blue house, that water just like constantly come to our house where my neighbor and I share that one, that line. We always have water issue there. And we, when we build, we follow to the T of how it should be, even with our narrow driveway, you know, we're like, we followed it. We have the hardest time pulling out that driveway because it's so narrow. Because I follow the city where other neighbors have wider driveway. Our house is built to what the town allow us to build, certain height.
Elevation.
Yeah, and then other homes are like way higher, which then cause all their water to come onto our property, right? And then in back of us, that home also have a sump pump, mm-hmm. and their water directly dump into our backyard. So we have two people dumping into. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a sump pump too?
And then that would be my third. We do have some pump, even on a dry drought day, constant going, pumping water out. So like, is it really desirable land? Should we ever finish the basement? We could, but there's always concern for, you know, an issue there.
Some pump failing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that would be, yeah. So yeah, I went back to comparing that 10 Marble Island Road, so for $990, even though it's one versus three other very higher sell volume, that seemed more accurate to base on that. And based on that home, 2,700 square feet, roughly, if you look at, now I'm not dividing land and house value, I'm looking at like $360 square foot, and our house being that roughly around 3,500 square foot. I feel more the true value of my house will be around 1.27. So not, you know, not big, not a small decrease from what you have it at, but it's about 100,000. I feel like it's over. At talking about $1 million evaluation, I think 100 is not a lot I'm asking for. I'm just wanting to be asking for fair. Fairness in this. And then my home right now, I know you don't count bathroom and stuff, but we have, you know, it's a big home, but we have 2.5 bath, just like any 2,000 square feet home, where other home in my neighborhood have like five bathroom, and even though 4 or 5 bathroom, their value is less than mine. So the neighbor directly behind me have a finished basement, have more bathroom, and their valuation is less than mine. Their house is private, their backyard look out to an empty field, their side yard looked to empty field. So
you have four bedrooms, excuse me.
Yes.
And two and a half baths.
Two and a half baths.
One of the bathrooms have a shower, or the.
You know what I. So I should say three downstairs, three quarters. Because yeah. it doesn't have a bath. We call that a full bath. Yeah.
On the record.
Okay, so maybe.
And then a half bath that just has a toilet and a sink.
No, so yes, so three quarter you do call. So I do three. So primary, yeah. So primary had a bathroom, and then upstairs would be bath. And then downstairs would be considered a full bath. It's three quarters. So it shouldn't be two and a half. So it
should be two and a half.
It should be three.
Oh, it should. Well, we don't count. We count the half bath as not a full.
Yeah, I don't have a half bath.
Oh, you have three full.
I have three.
I don't have any further questions, Charlotte. Do you?
No, I don't have any further questions. Great. Data. Yeah. Thank you.
Very good.
You just put another extra bathroom in there. But what you see what I'm saying, it's my two full baths, it's upstairs, mm-hmm. and the downstairs would have been a half bath. We did have a shower in there. It's a stand small shower. Which I think you still remember my home. Like you've been in it, like the bathroom haven't changed. But like I can't even remember my neighbor. I don't want to drive you out. But like yes. They have 1270. You're not sharing all this recording with people.
We can go off the record if you'd like.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So what we'll do is go around the room, introduce ourselves to the record, so it's on record who's here. You can actually open the door.
Okay.
Yeah. Help the airflow. It doesn't matter. Anybody can come in anytime. We just close the door when we deliberate.
Okay.
So. Because that's not public. So what we'll do is go around the room, put their names on the record, who's here, and then you'll have your time to let us know what you believe the value should be and why. We'll have some questions, or we may or may not have some questions about the evidence you present to us today. Then the board will close the meeting, we'll go into deliberative session, and we'll review the data you gave us and information you gave us today. Come up with a determination of what the value should be. You'll get a notice in the mail from the town in 1 to 2 weeks by certified mail with a result of grievance, and the notice can go up, go down, or stay the same. Okay?
And then after, if I disagree with that, is there a next level of appeal?
Yep, you can appeal to the Board of Civil Authorities after that, and that's to the town clerk's office, and then after that you could go to Property Valuation Review or Superior Court. Okay?
I'm Charlotte Gardner.
Robert Vickery.
Andrew Minitsky.
All right, Andrew, you've got the floor.
Wow, okay, thanks. I brought a letter with me, and I also emailed it early this morning. I don't know if you've received it.
We haven't seen early this morning.
Okay, so I brought copies. I sent it to Andrew French. Here's.
Yes.
Andrew is not here today. So.
Okay, I wasn't sure, and I just.
That's great. Copies are good.
Okay. So, I guess since this is on the record, I'll just basically read this into the record so it's part of it. And what I wrote is the following. Thank you for considering my appeal of the currently assessed value of my above referenced residence, which is 38 Pebble Beach Road, Unit 1 in Colchester. As I recall, the residence had been fairly recently reassessed. I don't know the date. I'm sure you've got that record, and that assessment was at $426,100. And I know that that was done after the June 24, 2011 date referenced in the June 18, 2026 letter that I received from you. And now the new assessment is purportedly, or it is at this moment, $818,000. And I think that that's excessive. And the main reason for the disagreement is that I don't think the comparables align. For example, if you look at 1448 Marble Island Road, and I do have a printout of that, but that's a public document which you have as well. 1448 Marble Island Road is a much bigger condo. It's two bedroom, four bathrooms. It's also on the lake. It's got a better location because it's closer to the marina and not up and down that hill. It's got much nicer curb appeal. I mean, I would swap units with those folks in a second if they wanted to. I really like the look of that place. And it's got a square footage that I can determine based on looking at publicly available information of 2,424 square feet. I just wrote feet, but square feet, as compared to my unit's square footage, which is only 1,709 feet. And that much larger unit at 1448 has been assessed at only $667,000. So the discrepancy, just sort of looking at that square footage compared to my square footage and running it on my trusty HP calculator that does delta percentages, is a 29.59% delta. And if I apply that delta to my unit, from that unit to my unit, it results in an assessment that I think should be $540,000. That doesn't take into account other factors, which I think make that unit much more valuable than mine, which I've sort of referenced, you know, the curb appeal and the like. And so for that reason, I'm respectfully requesting that my assessment be changed to $540,000.
And yours is a one bedroom?
Mine is a two bedroom.
Two bedroom.
Yes.
With how many bathrooms?
You could call it two and a half. One is a powder room that doesn't have a bathroom. One is a very small bathroom that's just a shower. And one is a bigger bathroom that has only a shower.
Okay, so we call the three-quarter baths a full bath because you can do
okay.
an all-over body. So you basically have two and a half baths and two bedrooms.
Yes.
Okay. It's important for us to get the record straight. I don't think that...
Yep.
And you have gas, hot water, heat?
Yes.
And you put a heat pump in for AC? What do you have for AC?
I have central air.
Oh, you have central air. Okay.
That was part of the renovation that we did in from 2016 to 2017. That's when we did the expansion.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember it was during the election.
And a gas fireplace?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have any further questions.
I don't think I do either. I don't have any questions either.
Okay. Do I win?
We all win. We all win.
It's so a joke.
End the hearing.
Right. Recording. What we will do, there's just two of us here today, it's being a Saturday morning. We'll go around the table and introduce ourselves, and if you could introduce yourselves afterwards for the record. And then you can tell us what you think the value should be and why. And if you have any questions for us, we are more than happy to answer them about the whole cooperative valuation. All right?
Yeah.
So this is for 29 East Avenue. And my name is Robert Vickery.
I'm Charlotte Gardner.
And that's...
Hi,
Dara.
Hi, Dave. All right. And now if you could introduce yourself for the record and we can begin.
Yeah, my name's Dave Kelly. I own 29 East Avenue in Hillcrest Mobile Home Park, and we originally got an assessed value of 86, give or take, with the original letter that came to me, and I did some legwork on that value, and that seemed to be within reason. But then when the official assessment came out at 135 something, that didn't seem to add up to me. In the process, there was conversations going on with Hillcrest as an entirety in terms of the co-op, and I apparently Breezy Acres and West Bay are also in the mix with Hans Hussey the attorney. So for the record, my opinion is that the value of the unit is between $80,000 and $85,000, not $135,000. So I was in agreement until the official notice came out in terms of how then either the town or, as Andrew explained it, may have been actually something as a mandate from the state of Vermont as to how the land value gets added into the home owner. You know, in this case, I don't know what you're familiar with in terms of Hillcrest as a co-op, but there are any number of restrictions that are placed on the use, literally, as to who we can sell to, income ratios, et cetera, that literally kind of control the future use of that property that I think is a real estate guy would call an encumbrance on the property, in as much as it exists in a co-op manner now, which, the majority of the Hillcrest residents agreed to partake in. So that said, as to this land component value that's been added to it, I just don't think that's fair in regards to the restrictions that are actually placed on it. You pay lot rent, you assume you have use of the land in that regard, but there's no profit making entity associated with that at this stage of the game in relation to co-op ownership. So I guess that's kind of where I'm at.
All right. Any questions, Charlotte?
No, I think it would be good for you to explain to Dave again that this all comes from Montpelier.
All right. Andrew did explain that. Between City Hall and the state of Vermont, I don't know that there's a whole lot to, as an individual unit owner, that I can accomplish in this task at hand. But I wanted to at least have a say in how this, what would happen to 29 East Ave anyway. But again, I'll assume higher powers will ultimately make some sort of determination, settlement, court case, wherever it goes, relative to town of Colchester / state of Vermont.
Yeah, and just, Dave, just to let you know, the town already feels like that's been determined. There is state law that requires us to value the common land facilities and components of the land to the mobile homes. That's already established in state law. So that is part of the assessment. The park itself.
I have no right. CBI is actually the owner of the land, not even the co-op. But again, unlike when Bros owned the park and it was a profit-making enterprise as a co-op, I sit back and say, I certainly can't imagine that a non-income-producing piece of land, even in Colchester, is worth 2.2 or 2.4, whatever that magic number was that was placed on that, knowing the encumbrances that are involved. A mobile home park heretofore was really a profit-making engine. When you get into a co-op ownership, at that point, there literally is not anything going on relative to any kind of profit or commercial application. Somewhere along the line, is there a land value? I certainly would have to probably say yes to that, but I don't know that I see it out there being $2.2 million. But again, that's a higher power will address that, and I signed up to partake in that process. So at the end of the day, I realize your hands may be tied to a certain level that makes this conversation kind of a moot point, but at any rate, I figured we may as well sort of sound off and get it off my chest.
Yeah, sure. We sound off on these every time we hear them.
Yeah, so, I don't have a problem if CDI wants to appeal the assessment and the value that's established, but it is established and through state law and actually through court cases in the past about properties on leased land. So, you know, we're seeing it as, and our town attorneys definitely agree, that this is the way to value properties in cooperatives. Now, whether or not it's a ownership or the, you know, if it's a nonprofit, that does not change the value of the property. Just, you know, the ownership of the property does not change the value. And that's kind of our view. And so if we have multiple properties, excuse me, I'm talking. Excuse me, I'm talking. So if the sales show us that the value of the property is $2 million based on the price per unit that people are paying for, whether they're co-ops or other people paying for mobile home parks, which is what's happening right now, and that's the market right now, you know, that's what we'll talk about. I'm happy to talk about that. The legal opinion of how the value is distributed amongst the homeowners, that's already been established. So, you know, if you look at what you paid for the property, the cooperative paid for the property, this, your Hillcrest, Breezy Acres, Westview, the two properties in Milton, the one in St. George, all those indicate that the value per unit is around $60,000 per unit for the land. So that's how we're assessing them. And I'm more than happy to have a discussion about the value and whether or not that's appropriate, but ownership does not determine value.
Well, encumbrances do. So again, if this were still Bro's mobile home park and there were no restrictions on how, when, or where you might be able to resell the unit, I might agree. But in this case, we've got to offer the park to certain types of in, or your home, you have to offer to certain income levels in terms of a sale. And so to me, that isn't sort of the fair market value of, you know, a mobile home park that's privately owned versus a co-op. My take is when a property's got an encumbrance on it, chances are it may be of less value than a comparable property that has no encumbrance.
Sure, I totally agree. So you're restricted to selling your individual unit, your mobile home, to certain income levels?
I do believe that's the case. I mean, I'm going back in time about 4 years now since the co-op owned it, but within the bylaws, there are some stipulations as to who, when, or where you can sell that mobile home to.
Okay. And that's good to know.
Do you have copies of those bylaws?
I have copies of Westbury's.
Of Westbury's?
They would not share those.
And, you know, I'm getting some of this information recently from a woman by the name of Grace who works for CDI.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So she's the one that kind of said, you know, Dave, here's where we're coming at it, et cetera, et cetera. But I do remember, you know, when the bylaws were adopted, that there were certain things that, in terms of the resale of the unit, that did restrict what and where and how you might end up doing that.
That's interesting. That's good to know. I know that, you know, we're looking at the sale prices, and certainly the sale prices should indicate that if that's the case. So, that's good to know. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it.
No problem. I'll hope it's reasonably accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't have those documents in front of me as I'm driving out to New Jersey. So,
Dave, if it's possible, we ought to put copies of those on file, of your bylaws, because Bob has had a really hard time getting any information on the co-op setup as to who joined, who didn't. You know, we've taken testimony that those who did not join the co-op are actually paying a higher lot rent.
That's right. That's a new wrinkle also.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard when the cooperatives are not
cooperating.
Yeah. So,
right.
And we tried getting hold of Hans, and Hans is not really cooperating with our request for the actual list of people who are on the appeal that he's representing.
I have no intel for that myself either.
And I understand that, and I'm not asking for that. And I'm just telling you that it's, for our part, we're trying to adhere to the state law, and we're trying to meet those standards that the legislature has put in place for for us in these type of properties.
Right. And again, I think Hans Hussey will be the guy that kind of, you know, between him and whoever else is in the mix. If I had the opportunity to get any, I'll use the word satisfaction for a lack of any other word, I don't think it'll be from this conversation. I think it will be through the whatever process takes place with Hans Hussey as far as representing whatever number of co-op parties and or unit owners in Hillcrest that are participating in that particular endeavor.
Yeah, and do you know why the state legislature requires this for co-ops?
No.
So the state legislature basically looked at the co-ops and said the co-ops are paying a property tax on a non-residential tax rate. If we apply the land value...
Yeah, Andrew did explain that, actually, that we get the residential rate versus the commercial rate.
Yeah, and that's the intention behind the legislation.
And then
I mentioned that to Grace myself as far as, you know, are you really going in the right direction? And, you know, she said, well, that seems to be where everybody wants to be headed. So, again, a greater, higher power than me in terms of that deal. So, but I do get that. I think that makes sense when we're talking about affordability in the state of Vermont. Obviously, every dollar helps the cause, so to take it out of commercial, you know, the 120% and get back to 100% certainly is a, you know, is something. So again, I think you know, somebody wants to dispute the methodology, and if that's at the state level and a legislative change, some of this may not take place for some period of time, and just, you know, things will have to play out as they do. And you know, I'll assume somewhere along the line it always comes down to money a certain way. But, you know, there does seem to be a real impetus out there to try to keep Vermont affordable, and probably the mobile home parks are still the most, you know, short of Champlain housing type of opportunities. Mobile homes still tend to be the most affordable opportunity for the average, you know, lower income Vermonter.
Yeah, and that's partly why the values have gone up so much. Because they
have
the demand for it, you know?
The catch 22, as far as I'm concerned. You know,
what was that, Charlotte?
Well, I think it's a catch 22, Dave. I think it's backfired in so many ways.
Yes. Yeah.
So many ways.
You know, housing in general has kind of become that nationwide, it would seem.
I'm going to go off the record.
Yeah, Dave, I'm just going to turn the recording off.
Yeah.
This is the appeal hearing for 2423 Mallets Bay Avenue. The property owner was not here for the appeal hearing, so we will go around the table and introduce ourselves for the record for who is here. We do have an email requesting an appeal hearing with some information on it that we will use as the appeal and when we deliberate. So,
Charlotte Gardner,
Robert Vickery, and now we will deliberate for the appeal hearing for 2423.
Just because psychologically, this letter thing, the 3.4 million.
Sure, we can do that one first.
If we can just, because you've already made changes to that, right?
Great, what we'll do is go around the room and introduce ourselves, and then if you can introduce yourself as well for the record. And then you'll have your time to let us know what you believe the value should be and why. If we have some questions with some of the evidence you presented, we'll ask at that time as well. And then the town will send you a results agreements notice within roughly 2 weeks by certified mail with the Board of Listers' decision. All right?
Okay.
All right, so let's go around the table.
Charlotte Gardner.
Robert Vickery. And that is us for the board members today.
Okay, this is Scott Benton, address is 198 South Bay Circle in Colchester.
Great. All right, Scott, you have the floor.
Okay, so got our assessed value, talked with a couple of the neighbors, and then went on to the website after all the new assessed values, the GIS website, after the values were updated there, and just took a look in comparison to neighboring properties and calculated the percentage of increase of each property. And assuming that the assessed value of the property is what that property might sell for on the open market, it looked like our house was probably a little higher than we expected it to be, just based on what we saw neighboring properties increased by percentage-wise, considering that only one other house nearby was also a three-bedroom. All the other neighboring properties were either four- or five-bedroom houses. And a fair number of the neighboring properties also had extensive updates since the last assessment, while our house has had none, and additionally need some fairly expensive repairs done that probably would be called out by a prospective buyer should they tour the house. So with that in mind, I think our percentage increase, which is at the high end of all the neighboring properties, you know, roughly 108%, the only one that is closest to that was a property that was converted from a single floor ranch to a two-story house with an additional bedroom added. So extensive remodeling, and theirs is roughly 110, 111. The rest of the properties are right around 100 or lower, down to 90%. Yep. So I think considering the condition of our house in relation to the neighboring properties and the fact that it's only a three-bedroom, probably should be more down towards a 90% increase rather than 108%.
Yeah. Well, you did send a letter with quite a lot of pictures, which is great evidence. And so your structural issues or deck, the cedar siding, some windows and garage windows, is that correct?
Yeah, I didn't take a picture. There's quite a few windows that are, you know, the double pane windows that lose their seal and start to fog up. So there's a fair number of those in the house that I didn't document.
Yep.
I could add the neighboring house, the Moore's house, had all their windows replaced recently, completely resided, new gutters, new roof recently as well. All work that this house could have done to it, yet their increase, I forgot what the Moores went up, they were just below 100%.
Okay.
Not to throw the Moores house under the bus and cause them to see any increase in their assessed value, but it just seems like our house, just considering the amount of work that needs to be done to it, should be on the lower end of the neighboring properties rather than second highest.
Mm-hmm. Any other repairs that are needed to the property besides what you listed in the letter?
Not significant repairs that I can think of now. I mean, it has the original furnace in it. So I mean, things that a prospective buyer, of course, would call out, trying to negotiate the price downward. So that was the original old boiler from when the house was built. Still runs, but you know, they'd probably call it out as something that potentially could fail. The water heater is probably at the end of its expected lifetime, things like that, but nothing that I consider impacting the value of the house.
Do you have any air conditioning?
There is no air conditioning. There's a window air conditioner that we could use, but for the most part, it sits in the basement.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Your
data presentation was helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. Very good information you sent along. I appreciate it. It's always nice when it's well prepared.
And the pool damage was something that I think occurred after the someone who came and looked at the property. Mm-hmm. So the pool has a safety cover over it. But then that safety cover let loose and tore the liner. So unfortunately, even though the liner was kind of near the end of its life, now it's fully ruined. And
that has not been repaired yet?
That has not. I'm on the fence about what to do with that pool because it has been closed for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, not a lot of options there.
Okay.
Do Yeah, I mean, it looks just like the photo there, minus the snow, and I've removed the safety cover, so.
Okay. Great, that's good information. Thank you. All right, I don't have any further questions.
I don't either.
Anything else to add?
I have nothing else to add.
Great, well, thank you for the information. I appreciate it. The board will go into deliberative session and come up with a determination of what the value should be. You will receive a results agreements notice from the town in a couple weeks, and it'll be by certified mail, so keep your eyes open for that, and it'll also explain if you wish to appeal further about how to do that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
All right.
Have a good day.
Thank you. All right. Have a good weekend.
What we'll do is go around the room and introduce ourselves so it's on record who's here. And then you'll have your time to let us know what you believe the value should be and why. The board may have some questions for you with the evidence you present. And then at the end of the meeting, we will close the meeting, go into a deliberative session, come up with a determination of what the value should be, or any changes to the assessment that need to be made. And then the town will send you a results of grievance notice within 2 weeks. With the change that they make, or no change. It could either go up, stay the same, or go down.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's go around the table.
Charlotte Gardner.
Robert Vickery.
Tom Messier.
All right, Tom, you have the floor.
Okay, so so I live at 215 Waverly Road. I don't know if you got the package that I had sent to Andrew or not, but
yes.
Hopefully you had a chance to look at that, and I sent him a bunch of photos as well. So I live in a development, well, first of all, my appeal has to do with the grade that was assigned to my home. It was given a grade of average plus 10. It's a three-bedroom raised ranch built in 1969. It has vinyl siding. It has a stone veneer on the bottom front portion of it. And 25 years ago, I built an attached two-car garage on the end of it. So this house is located in a neighborhood where the majority of the houses in our neighborhood were built in the late 60s, early 70s. So they're all 2x4 exterior wall construction. You know, they're all, you know, 50, 60 years old, including mine. So, you know, when I saw the assessed value and I saw the grade of average plus 10, I started looking at comparable homes to mine, and there are a number of them. I've listed four of them here, but I could come up with a list more that I believe are comparable to mine, or if not, what I would consider even nicer than mine in terms of curb appeal. And in terms of, you know, what's been done to them and more recently. I presented the same argument to the gentleman from VGSI on May 28th. And I said, you know, what makes mine an average plus 10 versus these other homes that I'm comparing to? And he started looking at the assessments. He says, you know what, it's a great question. I don't know. He said, I can't see anything that would make yours the plus 10. You know, they're all the same age, and they're all, you know, they're basically, it's a raised ranch. It's mm-hmm. a cookie cutter raised ranch. Mm-hmm. The photos that I provided of comparable houses in our neighborhood, the first one at 96 Tanglewood Drive, I mean, that one is nearly identical to mine. I mean, it's a three bedroom raised ranch. It's actually even the same color as mine, nicely landscaped. It's the same square footage within about 40 square feet. Is vinyl sided like mine. It has an attached two-car garage like mine. That one was rated average. In fact, they have a nice in-ground pool in the backyard with a vinyl fence all the way around it, which I don't have. I'm not sure what makes mine a plus 10 versus that one that's a grade of average. The next one at 183 Waverly Road. This was a raised ranch about the size of mine. A few years ago, the gentleman added onto it. He added a huge section onto it. It's about 300 square feet bigger than mine. He has a three-car garage under his house. It's not an attached garage, but it's a three-car garage. It's larger than mine. It was recently vinyl-sided all the way around. It's beautifully landscaped. In my opinion, I realize this is subjective, but in my opinion, it's probably the nicest looking house in the neighborhood. It's just beautifully kept. And it's rated average. So again, I'm not sure what makes mine the plus 10. 302 Rudgate Road, that's the house right next door to mine. Same thing, it's a raised ranch. It's a couple hundred square feet larger than mine. Vinyl siding, he has a two-car garage on the side. I helped him build it. And again, that one was assigned average. And there's one more, and I'm starting to sound like a broken record, but there's another one just around the corner, 235 Rudgate. It's a three-bedroom raised ranch built in 71. That one has a two-car garage that was recently, within the last few years, that they added on. That's a grade of average. So, you know, as I said, I could provide additional examples, but you know, they're all built around the same time period. I'm looking at the new houses that were built in a new development behind where we live on Vincenza Way. And, you know, those new homes are graded as average plus 10. And I can understand that, you know, they got new materials and, more recently built 2x6 exterior walls, I'm sure, a lot better insulated than any of the ones that were built in the 60s and 70s. As I said, the large majority of them were all built at the same time. I'm not sure what makes mine different or what makes mine a higher grade. And I know that the grade is going to affect the assessment value as well. I can't sit here and give you a number for an assessment value. You know, the first home I'm looking at, like I said, they're nearly identical homes. I would think that I don't even know what that one assessed at. I probably should look at that before I even make that argument.
Well, I don't really need any more.
No, I think that you've given good information. I've been looking at all these, and he's right. They were all at average.
Yep.
So that's great testimony.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
That's it.
How simple is that? But you do have a lovely home.
You know, I try to keep it up. I really do. I try to keep it looking nice. I, you know,
up the record.
We